Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening out there, Radio Land, and welcome to the very special and very romantic Valentine's edition of the iOS show. Yes, we are recording on the 14th of February. However, it's going to be old news due to the fact you're going to listen to it at the best on the 16th of February. But let's just imagine it's Valentine's Day once again, and we are coming in your ears on Valentine's Day. Enough.
He's got a corpse and it's only about 30 seconds in.
So, with me is our regular panel. As we have, to my extreme right, we have Mr. Streak Machine, Mr. Robert Falk. How are you this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm very much in the mood now that we have such lovely romantic music bringing us into the main meat of the show, shall we say.
The meat of the show, indeed. And to his extreme left is, the man that everybody wishes was sending Valentine's cards to you is Mr. Roddy McCleary. How are you this evening, Roddy?
I'm terribly, terribly hungover, so I'm going to try.
It's a Thursday night, man. Come
I
on.
Know, but I've the kids' weekend, and I have to weekdays or weeknights when I go out, so it's always fun. So I'm going to try and endure, tolerate the three of you for 45. Well, that's no different from any other podcast, really, is it? I have to say, Paul, you're looking quite attractive today.
As always.
Quite buff. You work out.
Well, I'm moving house, so I'm lifting lots of boxes just now.
Your top off?
Occasionally.
Let's just paint a picture for the listeners here. That's been a sexy picture. Moving house wearing only sports socks.
And a mankini.
And I'm fine, by the way, apart from the hangover. Thanks.
Very good. And more aggressive than usual, Ian Mackay, in our pre-show warm-up, he started at least two arguments with me and was verbally throwing abuse at the other members of the panel. So how are you this evening, Ian?
I'm ready to kiss and make up, Paul.
That's good. Very good.
I turned down a few very good offers in order to be here with you lovely gentlemen tonight, so...
That's good. Oh, well, let's all hug. I think
this is like a podcast YMCA, isn't it? Let's all go out dancing together.
So, moving on, just before that goes into a world that we don't want to think about, we're going to push on to the news. So, the first thing that we're going to talk about is 6.1.1 has been pushed to Vodafone users.
To kill the mood, Paul.
Maybe Vodafone pushed it as a Valentine's present?
Push my Vodafone update any day, Paul.
Well, interestingly, this article suggests that it was just Vodafone, but I received it yesterday and I'm on Orange, or EE, is there more commonly
known nowadays. I did post the one that I saw about it being Vodafone, and I have to say I don't know which carriers are pushing it through.
Mm. Well, I certainly received it.
Now, is 6.1.1 the one that's specifically for 4S power issues?
It is, and I'm on a 4S, which possibly adds up somewhat. The biggest thing that I found with 6.1.1, and I don't know if I'm imagining it or not, I don't think I am, but my battery life is horrendous ever since I upgraded to 6.1. My battery's dying. In fact, I was standing on the platform the other day, which is about 6 o'clock, back at 6, and it came up with a little alert that said 20% of battery remaining. I just clicked OK to accept that, and the phone switched off. So... And then wow. I tried to switch it back on, and it just kept on saying that it had no battery.
Doing the little flashy battery thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if that was 6.1, but every day consistently, my battery's been dying just about the period when I'm standing on the train. And it's really frustrating, because I found a great new game that I'm really enjoying on the train, and I'm not able to play it. I'm only able to play it in the morning. So I've resolved to plugging my phone in during the day, which kind of bugs me because I don't think you should have to do that.
You haven't lent your phone to like a New York Times motoring journalist or something, have you?
I see what you've done there.
Oh, that's a nice link. So will I let you take that link there, Ian?
Well, it's not very iOS related.
It doesn't really link to anything related.
The Tesla Motor Company lent one of their flagship cars to a New York Times motoring journalist who drove it in cold weather and said the battery ran out all the time. And Tesla has responded with actual vehicle logs from the car, which more or less disproved the journalists' accusations.
And every single one.
Yes. So everyone's kind of going, did he make that up? Or, you know, but we'll see. We'll see.
It's the same company who lent Top Gear a car, and Top Gear scammed them as well by pretending it had run out of batteries when it hadn't.
Which is why they now take logs whenever they lend it to journalists.
They really do. They're logging that stuff.
Mm. Same as Apple does, I believe.
Did they really? Well, I suppose it's so they could find them in bars and things like that.
Would you like to be found in a bar, Paul?
Only by you, Roddy. Only by you.
Do we have any more 6.1 news?
We do. Screen lock can be bypassed, according to The Verge. Security flaw lets anyone make calls from your iPhone in 6.1. Has anybody experienced this?
I read this today and I thought, right, you know, I'm going to try and do it on my own phone. And then I realized that part of it involves actually calling the emergency services. And admittedly, it does say, you know, just dial the number, connect the call, and then hang up immediately. But I just thought, I mean, you'd expect the emergency services to pick up pretty quickly. I don't want them to go, hello, emergency services, me going, happy Valentine's Day, and then hanging up. So I thought I might get a row off a policeman, so I've not tried it.
But
surely you're right. Ask for firemen on Valentine's Day is what you do.
My mum, when I was a kid, always told me I should wave at the firemen when they go past, except she never told me to stop. So I still do it at 36.
The article, and I know the article kind of goes in a little bit more detail to talk about viewing and modifying contacts and so on and so forth, but even before iOS 6.1, you've always been able to return phone calls. So if you had a missed call on your screen or something like that, you've always been able to swipe that missed call even without typing in the passcode and phone that person back. Have you not, or have I imagined that?
No, I don't know if I've never tried it. I know I covered in my tip recently. The thing about locking Siri out of just being accessible from the home screen. Yes. And from that, that's default behavior. It doesn't need you to unlock your phone. And you can, from that, you know, access any of your contacts, but, you know, through natural voice. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of ways to get around that. I suppose, you shouldn't be relying just on the lock on your phone.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Isn't this like an old bug that kind of came back though? They kind of fixed it for one subversion.
4.x, yeah, 4.something.
Yeah, it was an early. I think the article on the Verge actually says it was a similar bug affected iOS 4.1. It was fixed in iOS 4.2 and reached out to Apple for comment and will update once here back. They have an update and Apple says it is aware of the issue and currently working on a fix that will be deployed in a future software update. So actually, that's a good point. Do we know that if this has been fixed in 6.1.1? I don't think it has, because 6.1.1
I doubt it.
Firing
just
it
just fix.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to some more positive news. We've got one more 6.1 thing just before we move on to more positive news. Microsoft solution to 6.1 Exchange issues, including blocking iOS users. So this is basically a support article on Microsoft's... is it called Knowledge Base still? Does Microsoft still call it Knowledge
Something
Base?
Something like that, yeah.
Basically, it's in relating to bandwidth load on Exchange Server 2010 when the user syncs a mailbox using iOS 6.1. So they basically started blocking those just to kind of deal with that.
There are other options they give. You know, I think it generates loads of logs now when you connect. And so the server logs get massive and the server gets under load. But they did say, you know, you could try and impose some kind of log size management thing. But yeah, the other option is just block your iOS users. And that seems a bit harsh.
Yeah, it does a bit.
So if you've got an Exchange mailbox and it suddenly stops working, that might be it.
But anyway, as I said, on to more positive news. So Apple is developing a watch. So this is an article, both Business Insider, which... okay, Apple Insider. We'll talk about
Insider.
Excuse me.
Apple Insider are suggesting that. Where is this coming from? Is this a patent or is this
coming from Apple?
Well,
I think. I mean, they're saying it has been picked up in. I think it was Mossberg in the Wall Street Journal, who's usually quite credible, and the New York Times, who are usually quite credible, but were the ones that ran the Tesla electric car story, so maybe less credible, have both picked up and run with this story. So that maybe lends some weight to it. There was a suggestion that there's a dedicated team working on some kind of watch from Apple. So I think it's my gut feeling is this could be a thing because we have, you know, we all sit staring at our phones now. And quite often, you know, I don't think many of us use Siri a lot, but your phone is a thing that you now have in front of you in your hands, you know, and it's kind of consuming your attention. Whereas, you know, Apple have tried to, you know, break that link to make it hands-free with Siri. Google are working on the, you know, Google glasses. So you would just have, I suppose, the most salient information in right in front of you. And maybe that's Apple's parallel thing. Is I'm seeing the watch as, you know, maybe not a super smart watch, like almost like a notification thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a very, very simple, almost like wristband thing. That I reckon it's going to have some kind of touch sensor that you push it and activate Siri and you ask it to do things or tell you information. That's where I think they're heading with it, rather than it having loads of functionality.
I quite liked Bruce Tognazzini's take on this. He's a designer, used to work for Apple, designed a lot of the original Mac OS. And his thought was that the watch device or whatever it is could be an authentication mechanism. So it has like a fingerprint reader in it. And when you want to log into something on your phone or your computer, you kind of read your fingerprint or your thumbprint and it logs you in automatically. And it keeps on authenticating for as long as you keep the watch on. And then when you take it off, you have to re-authenticate. So you would have to do it like once a day. And that also means if somebody nabs it off your wrist, then they can't log into any of your stuff. But I think that would be a really nice solution to the ongoing problem of passwords.
Yeah, absolutely. Although that's going to require a massive change to infrastructure and the way lots of things work, isn't it?
So how are you meaning?
But maybe it's time for that change.
Yeah, how are you meaning authenticate? So is it some kind of biometric thing?
Yeah, like whenever you're challenged for a password, there'd be an authentication agent program on your device or your computer, and it would just say, you need to authenticate to do this, and you'd go, boop, with your fingerprint on your watch, and it would go, thank you, and off you'd go.
Ah, right, okay, yeah. And there has been rumors, floating around about the time that the Mini came out, I think it was, that the Apple had been looking at the fingerprint technology and all sorts of stuff like that.
Didn't they buy a company that did something along those lines?
That does ring a bell.
Yeah.
But, perhaps something we should have researched.
I've got a funny feeling, though, with, you know, we could speculate about the iWatch or the Apple Watch, and I've seen a few renders, you know, of people doing concept art that don't look anything like something Apple would bring out.
Yeah, for example, the one on Business Insider.
Yeah, that's grim. I mean, that's just... I've got a funny feeling that we'll, as always, if they really are doing one, we're going to just get drip-fed tiny little components for a little bit, and it will still be a surprise.
Yeah, I think this is at the very least a year away anyway.
Sounds like it could be a good thing, though. So
I don't know. Are watches that big a deal anymore?
Well, I don't wear watches, but I would actually, if... I think the interaction experience could do with changing, and... maybe this is how they plan to... I certainly don't want to wear a pair of blooming glasses. So.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't like think of it... Don't think of it as a watch. Just think of it as a wearable device. And, you know, maybe it'll tell you the time as well. But, you know, your phone will do that. This just means you can do it without taking the phone out of your pocket, which is revolutionary.
I think it could just give you an Apple eye belt that you wear around your waist. And it can tell every time you clench your buttocks together. And then you can give Siri voice commands. Yes, right. I'm going to try. I could do my pelvic floors, right? Ooh, there we go. And Siri would just pop on and speak to it. Read me my email.
Combine it with a few other functions. You know, it'll be like Batman's utility belt almost. And yeah, we might have a pretty cool product. Yeah, why not?
What about a hat?
I really like the idea of Google Glasses. I like that. Heads-up display on one of your lenses. I wear glasses all the time. And so do you, Ian, actually, which makes it curious.
I paid thousands of pounds last year to not ever have to wear glasses or contact lens again. I don't want to stick some more bloody ones on my face.
Yeah, but that'll diminish over time, so you're going to have to go back to it anyway. But this is stuff that's kind of, you know, kind of 70s and 80s TV shows. This was how they felt that the future was going to be. Everybody was going to be talking at their wrists. You know, like they've got all those, like, I can't even remember. There's definitely a film that has a thing where it's got like a little video camera in it.
Is it Dick Tracy? Dick Tracy is the classic wrist communicator example.
And Turanga Leela on Futurama as well.
There's someone on the bus I get into work who looks like they're talking to their wrist.
That might be an insane person, but
I think it might be. Yeah, it
might be Ian. sorry, I'm just trying to poke the bear here, Ian. I'm sorry.
I know it's Valentine's Day, but calm down.
No, I like this.
I'll scoop you out of the river like a tasty salmon, Paul.
I think we have a show title.
Brilliant. I think we could have a little I Watch Speculation Corner every week.
Until they launch something along those lines or like it, why not?
Yay!
Right, okay. Well, in which case, now that I've scribbled down that show title, we can move on and we will watch The Watch with...
our eyes.
Watch. I was gonna do something really funny there, but it's completely
moment's gone, Paul.
Yeah, it has a bit. If you count iPad, Apple is now the. Actually, you want to do this in your numbers section, Ian, or have you got another number you want to talk about?
I've got another number.
All right. So if you count the iPad, this is according to CNN's Fortune, and in fact, I think there's a couple of different companies have actually done this report. Apple is now the number one PC manufacturer on the planet. That's pretty impressive. No.
Well, just ask right. Michael Dell.
Well, yeah, that's very true. Dell having been made private again this week. Is that gone through yet?
I don't know. Had Microsoft pumped some money into that? I thought.
Yeah, they did.
$1 billion, I think.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
I think that could be quite interesting because Dell, you know, going private, it means they might be able to, you know, they don't have to satisfy shareholders then, do they? So they could... Maybe they could innovate. Maybe there could be a little more competition for Apple, and competition is
actually,
good.
I bet Apple are really jealous of the fact that Dell don't have to mess with their shareholders anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
The chart that's on the CNN Money page, which I put a link in the show notes, is curious in the absence of any HP, Lenovo, and Dell tablets.
Yeah, well, you're surprised there aren't any HP tablets.
Well...
They stopped making them a while back.
Well, we're going on an article regarding that in a second, but there are no tablets there from Lenovo. Lenovo have that, which I thought was quite interesting. So they call it the Yoga Pad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which looked like an interesting concept, but I think it was a bit gimmicky.
It just looks like the hinge is broken.
Yes.
It just folds any way you like.
I really liked the advert, though. I mean, it wasn't really kind of, you know, like Apple's adverts are kind of showing you real-life people, albeit very beautiful people, but real-life people using the iPad. Even Microsoft, albeit their adverts are very Apple-y, are showing real-life environments, albeit they're running around like they're an episode of Glee. Yes, okay, we could talk about that. But the Lenovo ones was just like, if you're a secret agent, and you want to scale buildings, then this is the iPad, this is the tablet for you. Just wasn't really talking to their audience, I didn't think.
kind of a niche market.
Yes, I would imagine so. But did Dell not, and maybe my memory's going, but was it not the Dell Streak?
Streak of what?
They had a small 5-inch tablet-type device that they called the Dell Streak.
Yeah.
Mm,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, it ran Android 2 or something, maybe even 1.6. It was really early in the kind of Android days.
Yeah, so maybe that's...
Yeah, I think it was a 1.6, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose this table is the last quarter, so there's no chance that HP or Dell... But you would have thought Lenovo might have done something that might have had even a little line of pink at the top of their little chart there. But anyway, sadly sorry, not.
So what are these global numbers, by the way? I just wanted to clarify.
I don't know. What does the article say?
Should we read the article?
Should we read through it again? Hold on. I just thought that Lenovo might be at a disadvantage unless you take a look at China more specifically. Because
it says
world's number one personal computer manufacturer. Yeah, that's the world, which is the entire world.
And it does does use the word shipped, so it's kind of suggesting that's the amount that got shipped out of their... plants, not necessarily where they ended up. So,
all right, that now again.
Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
It's also interesting in that Apple's Mac shipments have been quite far down this quarter because they've not had manufacturing sorted out for iMacs and things. They probably sold fewer computers than they usually do. So the tablets have really helped there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I expect Tim Cook's been waving his supply chain wand around.
Did you see the makeover that I think it was Forbes did on Tim Cook?
I did not. No, did you?
Yeah. Hang on. I've not put the link in the show notes. Can somebody just pad for a second while I try and find it?
So let's talk about Paul Wheatley for a minute. Let's talk about his face. He's not a big man, but he's got quite a big face.
That's true.
It's quite a disproportionately large face.
Right. Okay. Wow. I've just put the link at the top of the show notes.
Okay, yeah, you just stick it in the top. Don't try and work it in anywhere in the news section or anything.
So basically what this is it's Forbes have done, they've got two pictures of Mr. Cook, and they got him when he was on stage doing one of the keynotes. I'm not actually sure what keynote that was.
He's only a head, it's like Futurama.
But if you click on it, they've put like a new outfit on him, so they've done a kind of a Gokwan-esque makeover.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And then if you hover over it, it explains all the different parts of his makeover.
Is this how they'd make him better? He just looks like Steve Ballmer in the second.
He really does. That's the kind of thing Steve Ballmer would wear.
Developers!
Oh, no. I'm getting flashbacks from CES when he was running over the stage.
Tim Cook's not an unattractive man.
So, anyway, I think you're very hungover. Right. So we also have alleged iPhone 5S photos have been leaked. I'm kind of
still staring at Tim Cook here.
The naked one, or the one with the suit on?
One in my imagination.
Can you hear me having a party over here with this news? These exciting photos.
I think I can hear it, yeah.
So
it's a very small party.
Very small.
So yeah. I mean, it's the back of the phone. It kind of looks like a 5. What's to say there? Anything?
Is this the iPhone 5S one that basically looks identical to the iPhone 5?
Yeah.
Which would be no surprise at all, because now we have iterative developments of every phone since the iPhone 3G has had a second speed bump one.
Well, Business Insider heard your concerns, Roddy, and what they've done is they have released another article yesterday saying that there's going to be a 4.8-inch iPhone 6, but that won't come till June 2014. And does anybody else think that this curiously looks a little bit like the Livono Windows phone, but running OS X, of all things?
They just talk a pile of crap, don't they?
They really do. It's a really curious interpretation of OS X, because it's OS X as in the desktop operating system, and it has all the icons of a desktop operating system except Passbook, and Passbook is the iOS version of it.
I don't think we should pay too much attention to that.
That's a crap render, isn't it? That's just something off Flickr they've tugged off there.
Yeah.
But it does look also, like one of the Lumia phones, doesn't it?
It says that, are you ready for this bit of a Valentine's Day bit from Business Insider? They're struggling to increase the size of the 4-inch to 4.8 inches.
Tragic.
Indeed. So, moving on. Brazil says iPhone trademark doesn't belong to Apple. Apple pushes back.
As they should.
They should push back with bombs.
This has been ongoing for a while.
Do we have any listeners in Brazil? Sorry about that. Well, I had to apologise to the
Throw some Portuguese in there, Roddy. You know, warm up to them.
I'd like to apologise to the Hungarians for that one ages ago, and the Brazilians for this. I mean, Top Gear in Mexico, haven't I?
I'm going to go numbery for a minute here. Brazil is a big market. There's something like 200 million mobile subscribers there, potential mobile subscribers, but there are no iPhones being sold.
No.
But you can buy a Galaxy S3, but it costs about $1,000.
Is that US dollars?
Equivalent, yes, US dollars on contract. Or not on contract. But obviously the average monthly wage is quite low compared to the US. So it's quite an expensive phone, really.
I wouldn't want to walk through the favelas with one. I don't.
What's a favela?
Well, this is the thing, because they've got 3G there in theory that covers like 85% of the population, but it's pretty unreliable by all accounts.
So. Anyway, moving on to the competition. So we have a few articles here from RIM, Android, and Microsoft, and the others. That horrendous film starring Nicole Kidman.
It's not RIM anymore, Paul.
Oh, sorry, BlackBerry, as they're now known.
Change the name of this bit from the competition as well? Because every time I think we're actually having a competition so our listeners can win something, I go, oh, Paul, you didn't tell me about a competition. Can I enter, even though I'm on the podcast? We should have a competition. What could they win?
Streaks underwear.
That doesn't sound very. A night of.
Do you want the used ones or do you want the unused ones?
Well, I think that was implied by Streak, was it not? No. Anyway, sorry, that was a little bit.
So we could have a competition for our listeners to think up a new name for the section, the competition, which we're no longer going to call it the competition.
How about other people what make phones?
Some stuff what is done by the people. Other people. Yeah, okay.
Okay, this section is now called Other People What Make Phones.
What so, make phones? It could be tablets, though, or watches.
Other people what make stuff that you put in your pocket.
What make stuff?
Done, yeah.
Right, okay. Anyway, BlackBerry. We only really have one article in here because clearly somebody, albeit they were on the last show, did not listen to the last show and has suggested in our show notes that we should talk about Alicia Keys, which we've already covered at length. I take it that was you, Streak, actually. You're forgiven, apart from the fact that you should have listened to the show.
Yeah,
I don't remember you talked about it, actually. I must have been
in one ear and out drugs.
Yeah, that's how it usually is, actually. What were you saying now again?
Turns out, though, since she was appointed creative director at BlackBerry, she has tweeted from an iPhone and then claimed that it wasn't her and she was hacked. And then somebody posted a photo of her backstage in some dressing room where she had three phones on the table in front of her, and two of them were iPhones and one was a BlackBerry.
She's crazy. She loves her phones.
Yeah. So she's obviously finding it hard to kind of break the habit there.
Break the crackberry habit.
Yeah,
this is sort of non-news. I think it's just kind of been crowbarred in, so we had something
Alicia
to talk
about. Alicia Keys seems nice, though.
Yeah, depends on what angle.
From the musical angle. I think she's a talented young lady.
You see some photographs, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's a pretty lady, and then other photographs, and it's
Look, Ian wants to tell us something.
What does Ian want to tell
us? He's typed thing in the show notes. Look, he's typed it in words.
I went to a mobile phone shop today and I played with a BlackBerry Z10.
Go on, tell us about it.
It was pretty okay, I guess.
What's the BB10 like? Because we're an OS show. We want to know about the OS. Tell us about the OS.
It was kind of boring and swoopy and, you know, technically, I played with two Z10s in two different shops and one of them worked and one of them didn't. So, what can I say?
I'd heard a few of them had died, actually. I saw somebody's... One of the review ones died after 4 days or something.
I couldn't unlock one of them. I just, tried everything. I could send it to sleep, wake it up, but I could not interface with the screen at all. It was very strange.
You couldn't interface?
I tried all kinds of things.
Did you try the keyboard? I've heard that the typing, the predictive text thing is quite interesting.
No.
It's meant to be like Swift key, though, isn't it?
None of the apps I tried were keyboardy apps, I'm afraid. So next time I will myself to play with one, I'll try that.
Next time, Gadget.
Wow, he's scary.
On to Samsung. So according to the New York Times, Samsung is stealing Apple's cool.
They're
How's
cool.
about that?
They're like so Gangnam kind of style, but they're a technology company. Do I have to apologise to the Koreans now as well?
Are they like tunneling under the building into the vault or something like that? I don't think they can be doing it by legal means.
I don't know which phones are cool. Nokia phones are cool. I like Nokia phones.
Don't go there.
Oh, come on, they're kind of cool. I think the Lumias look great. They're a bit chunky.
So one of the other things I saw in the store today was a Series 40 Nokia phone with a touchscreen. Series 40 is the operating system they introduced in 1999.
That's cool. Yeah, that's old.
And that's quite... It was like, are you kidding me? This is a touchscreen phone running Series 40.
I'm just talking about the hardware. You know, I mean, they've always done kind of...
No complaints. Just the software is very strange.
Yeah, but so I think their current range, the Lumias, lovely. Really nice. Polycarbonate, cool. So they're cool. They're a bit of cool. Samsung, I don't really see anything in their range that particularly sees cool. Is there anyone else? Are we missing anyone else? What about Vertu? Is it Vertu?
Vertu.
Who used to be owned by Nokia and are now not owned by Nokia and have just released a £6,000 smartphone based on Android, which is made out of titanium and unicorn tears.
They didn't have any in the shop.
Version of Android.
I looked for them in the shop. I couldn't find any.
Strange.
You know, that's kind of cool. It's a bit ostentatious, but it's kind of cool. But Samsung aren't cool.
Well, you see, when you actually read, and it was clearly just link bait, the article itself, albeit suggests that they're stealing their cool, the article pretty much is just a series of comparisons between the two. They spend this much on R&D, they spend this, Apple sends this much, they spend this much on marketing, they spend this much. There's not really anything in it that kind of goes into explaining the scene in Austin Powers 2 when they actually steal his mojo. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, and there was no actual kind of asking the public what they think of things, which I kind of understand is a good benchmark for what's cool and what's not.
Look at the guy in the article in the New York Times, who must be a Samsung guy, and he looks like a Korean version of my dad.
Doohan Chang.
Got a Kim Hyun-suk, this guy.
Oh, no, that guy at the top, yeah. Does he look like
Suk your dad? Is coming to get you.
Non-Korean guy of that guy.
Is he? Well, he's not... I don't know where he's from. Anyway, he looks he's got like a big plaid jacket on. He's not
okay,
cool.
Anyway,
but his wife and kids love him, and that's what matters.
Okay, so HP is choosing Android over Microsoft in their new tablets. Are we shocked at this?
Uh-huh. I still weep over the loss of WebOS as a serious competitor to iOS.
WebOS was lovely.
It was.
It was fluid. I like that.
I do wonder if this decision has been partly influenced by the fact that Microsoft have just dropped a bunch of money in Dell going private, and HP are looking at that and going, well, do we want to compete with that?
Very possible, I suppose. But they should have had this in development for a while, so...
Is this not possibly just a case of HP are getting a little bit worried that they haven't managed to come up with a decent tablet? The PC market is crashing, and they're pretty much just hooking their trailer to whatever is the best in the market that they can hook the trailer to.
They're just trying to get something out to market quick to get HP as a name out there, even if it's not what they really want to ship.
Well, yeah, and I suppose, I kind of felt this at the time, Microsoft have kind of shot themselves in the foot by making a quite a decent tablet using Microsoft's operating system. And to be fair, who's going to really take up the challenge of putting Microsoft's operating system on to try and compete with Microsoft hardware, the hardware and software is working together?
Either Microsoft need to really do an Apple and become a hardware and software company that's going to unified services. Unified products. Sorry, I'm hungover. Ignore me. Like they do with the Xbox. You're getting the whole ecosystem. You're getting the hardware. You're getting the software. Blah blah blah. They should. They need to start doing that all out, or they're just going to really annoy all of their OEMs.
Yeah, I know. I think we discussed that at the time that we thought it was a little bit interesting that they decided to do that. But maybe this is just the first company to make a big move like that is the HP saying, well, hold fire, guys. We're not really that interested in competing with you with your own software. So we're going to go off and join Android, which is the second biggest mobile operating system.
Those crazy guys.
Makes sense.
Is there a Valentine's Day aspect to that one?
The lady at the top of the article, she...
Let's have a look at her. Hang on.
Is it Meg Whitman? I haven't checked it out yet.
Poor Meg Whitman.
Well, on the left-hand side of the article, one of the related articles is dating apps are full of dudes. So there you go. There's the connection.
From what I hear from lady friends, apparently dating sites are full of dudes, specific parts of dudes. Apparently, I've not been courting for a while, but apparently the done thing now is instead of saying, hello, how are you on a dating site, you just send a photograph of your part. I believe is what's done.
Hope for the best.
I have to say that while Meg Whitman looks like a very nice lady, she does look a bit like she's melting.
She does a tad.
Well, wouldn't you be if you were the CEO of HP?
Under hot studio lights.
Indeed.
Picking up the pieces from after
Leo Apotheker. Been under hot studio lights a few times.
So, Nike has no plans to release their Fuel Band on Android. It says it's focused on iOS. Basically, Nike has already brought a couple of its apps to Android, but the Fuel Band, which is the one that you basically wear on your wrist as a watch, I actually wear it as well as a watch. But
oh, have you got one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Use it when you're running around and stuff.
I don't really. You know, the funny thing is, I have it, and the only I don't do very much in terms of running around or jogging or anything like that. I really should probably, but I don't. But I
just track the movement of your wrist.
Yeah, just I like charts and graphs, and this produces
spores
charts
and fungi.
And graphs.
I like charts and graphs too, but I don't have to make my own.
No, I quite like them. I quite like it. It's quite interesting. I mean, the what it does is I'm kind of getting off the article here, but. Albeit, I don't really go out for jogs or anything like that because, I just don't like that kind of stuff. But what it does
do... So, Paul, is what you're saying is that Fuel Bands are largely bought by the same kind of poser that buys an iPhone?
What I like to do with it is basically, if I get to kind of like mid-evening and I realize I haven't hit my goal for that day, I will wander up and down the stairs or kind of lightly, I wouldn't say jog, but I'll lightly walk a pace up and down my staircase until I reach the 3,000 or 3,500 my target is. So I suppose it is kind of keeping me fit in that sense, but I didn't buy it to go out jogging or anything like that.
It's like you're road testing a Tesla. You don't get the result you wanted, so you just go up and down the stairs or round and round a car park until your batteries run out. The battery, of course, being your stamina in this case.
Indeed. Yeah. But the article that we're discussing here is Nike has decided to not do an Android app. Why do we think that is?
Because Android's rubbish?
If I'm not entirely mistaken, a certain Timothy T. Cook is on the board of Nike.
Sorry. Is he really?
I think he is.
You were sitting there, Roddy, and just making silly jokes and stuff, and Streak was actually coming out with some insight.
Is somebody banging a gong on the podcast?
I flicked my pencil and I hit the spring that my microphone's attached to.
What kind of a spring do you have? It must be ginormous.
It's I've talked about the arm that my microphone's on before in the show. It's a big kind of boom mic arm thing.
Awesome.
Gotcha. Anyway,
so hot.
So Tim Cook's on the board of Nike?
As far as I remember,
Google that.
I'm Googling it now.
Well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of historic collaboration between Nike and Apple. You know, when was the first Nike Plus thing they did? It was an iPod accessory, wasn't it?
Actually, this is possibly relating to an earlier article. If Apple really is doing an iWatch, it's a huge conflict of interest for Tim Cook due to the fact he's on the board of Nike. That's interesting.
Interesting.
However,
it is interesting. Are you interested?
You could suggest then. Look at us researching live on the show.
Yeah, I'm reading something about...
But could that not be kind of an amalgamation if they made a watch that actually included the fuel band technology inside it, but also controlled your... I would like that. That would be awesome. I would jump at that.
Cook is a fitness enthusiast and enjoys hiking, cycling, and going to the gym.
Born on the 1st of November 1960.
Okay.
Cook joined Apple in March 1998.
I mean, listeners, ask us a question about Tim Cook, anything we can find in Wikipedia, and we'll tell you next time.
It would be very interesting to see Apple and Nike collaborate on something like that, because historically, Apple have put technology into their products that Nike have worked with. So I wonder if they would consider something, you know, co-branded even.
Mm, yeah.
I'd like, instead of Nike, I'd like Speedo to do a collaboration with Apple. I think you can imagine where I'm heading with this.
I have an interesting piece of information about Tim Cook. He grew up in Robertsdale, Alabama, which is near the town of Mobile.
Interesting.
It was just meant to be.
Wasn't it, though?
Anyway, we're going to move on because I can't help but feel that this show is just kind of
repairing
dribbling
the call
here.
Because Streak's fallen off the internet, so I'm trying to reintegrate him into
I'll leave you reintegrating him, and we'll quickly cover some Microsoft news. So the Surface Pro has sold out,
but maybe they only had two of them.
Yeah,
I think it doesn't really say anything if you don't know the numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't actually...
I'm calling shens on this. I think it looks so good for them to sell out. I mean, maybe I'm being harsh. Maybe they genuinely have made loads, and, you know, I can imagine a lot of people buying servers. There are a lot of Windows people, a lot of Windows devotees. Heck, I used to be one, so I would have bought a Surface, and maybe they have, but I don't know. It's just the lack of figures we're getting for all of this Surface and Windows 8, and it's just...
But how many of you... I mean, I don't know. I don't think, Ian, you commute to work. I don't know about Streak, but certainly, Roddy, I imagine you at least get the bus. And I get on a train every day. I regularly see Kindles, Android tablets, and iPads. Yep. I have never seen a Microsoft device.
No. I've not even seen a Surface in the shops or anything yet.
I played with one last week.
A Surface?
Paul, our mutual friend's one. Do you know my favorite thing about it?
Are we going to go through that again?
When you go from the home screen, you press, there's like a camera icon to open the camera app. When you open it, it says, can I have your permission to use the camera, please?
What?
What else do you possibly want? I'm opening the camera app. What else can I possibly want other than you to use the camera?
Oh, Microsoft.
So it's pretty much the user, all over again from Vista, like popping up to, I have your permission to use the mouse for a while.
Was it user access something? I can't remember.
User access control?
I can understand it having built-in stuff to prevent apps doing stuff with GPS or cameras or whatever without your knowledge, but when you're using the built-in system camera app, I think you can maybe skip that.
Yeah.
See, I was being told by a young lady on the train last week when I was coming back from London who saw the assorted Apple devices that I was progressively pulling out my bag as the 4 hours trundled through.
Okay, I'm very curious to what she said to you now, Paul.
She told me that, and I don't know if this is true or not because I've never actually used a Windows phone to this level, but she loved a Windows phone, and the one reason that she would always buy a Windows phone over an Apple phone or an Android phone or anything like that was because a feature in the settings of Windows phones says that no matter what, do not send the fact that I'm using a mobile device to websites that I'm browsing because I do not want the mobile website.
That's kind of cool.
And it would always send you to the desktop version of the website. And you'd still have to pinch and zoom and whatnot, or whatever the functionality is in a Windows phone. Have any of you ever heard of that before? I didn't really have the heart to go, that sounds like nonsense.
And do you think she was the kind of woman that likes full functionality, Paul?
She was a very nice young lady. I'm not gonna accept that.
You're a married man. Speaking as a web developer type person, that sounds like a really bad idea.
I agree completely. And as a massive advocate for responsive design, I couldn't really get. I tried to explain to her why that's possibly a bad thing, and while it's, you know, I completely accept that some people make .mobi sites and they're really, really lacking functionality, and it's basically a, let's throw something together so that our mobile users don't get annoyed.
Because we're talking about mobile operating systems and not necessarily just phones, one thing that drives me flipping mad on my iPad is that often it'll open a mobile site that is formatted for a phone on your, I think PayPal's one of them.
Yes,
so on the iPad, you default to the mobile site and it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And there is no immediately evident way to, I think that'd be great on an iPad to have a switch to force that.
But sometimes people do really interesting things using responsive design for the iPad resolution.
Well, PayPal don't.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
But then again, that's PayPal. What can you say?
I know. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But I thought that was a really cool feature. Well, actually, sorry, I don't know if it was necessarily a really cool feature as long as it ignored if it was a responsive design site, which I'm all for, but if it was skipping over like a .mobi site or something like that, or an m.url.
Well, indeed. But I mean, there's a question about how it works, whether it sends a different kind of identifier to the site or whatever. It sounds like the kind of thing that if you know how it does it, you can work around it. So indeed.
Assuming it does it, I mean, I'm completely going off the back of a young lady on the train telling me this, so it's not exactly research.
No. But hey, I'm sure there's an app for that.
Indeed. So, moving on. This Ubuntu smartphone is available in October. Are we excited?
If it ever comes to a shop and I can actually touch it in real life, I'll be moderately more excited than now, which is not much right now.
Okay. That was easy. The reason we kind of went a little bit long on the news and stuff like that this week is because, frankly, we have had absolutely zero trouble gussets this week. So,
yeah, you've let us down.
Well, you've let us down, or you're all getting on swimmingly with your devices.
You've left us hanging here, man.
Well, think about the other direction. Maybe we've done our job. Maybe we have solved every single iOS problem that ever existed, and our listeners are just so happy with us that they don't see the need to ask us any questions anymore. If you're perfectly healthy, do you go to the doctors?
Maybe if we've exhausted the trouble gusset for this time, I believe it was Marvin Gaye who in the song Trouble Man said that there were only three things that were for sure: taxes, death, and trouble. So maybe we could offer tax or death advice as well as trouble advice.
Well,
just an idea.
I am not touching any tax advice, to be honest.
I could give you some death advice, which if you're considering dying, try not dying.
Yes, that's some good advice.
Live a long and happy life.
Patented advice there.
Live long and prosper.
We should have done some relationship advice.
it's
Valentine's Day, so.
Yeah, we should have done. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So we're going to go into the tip section. So Streak, you have a tip for us this week.
Yes, a small one. I stumbled across this almost by accident. I suppose there's sometimes you just don't want to sit and read something on your iOS device. And Apple has made it really wonderful with their accessibility options. I mean, you can even have like impaired vision, and it'll be a great aid for you, as they meant originally. You can just switch on a small little function and mark a piece of text, and you can have your iPhone or iPad or even iPod Touch read text to you. Just go into accessibility options in settings under general, and you know, flip the switch and select, well, your preferred variant of English, which there are a few, and sadly not too many other languages. So if we have other language listeners, you're kind of out of luck if you don't speak English, Spanish, Chinese, and I think French, but I'm not sure about all the languages in the list. Anyways, just switch that on, hop into whatever text-based or text-centric app you want, and mark your text and press a button, then hey, presto, your iOS device will start reading to you. But if that's a bit limiting for you, maybe you want to read and or like have here listen to a longer piece of text, there's another really nice little app that I've been testing out that's called Speakit, which just takes any text and transforms it into speech. Link to that will be in the show notes, and it's fairly cheap, £1.49 in the UK store. And you can have a variation of different voices there built into the app as well. And it sounds pretty nice. It was a while ago I checked it out, and they've updated it since, and it's supposed to be even better.
I always liked the OS X has the bit in services. If you select some text and you right-click. I say right-click. You shouldn't need to right-click on a Mac. But if you go into the right-click menu, it has the add to iTunes as a spoken track. Which is quite nice.
Right.
It then puts little things.
Yeah.
So if you've got a bit of text, you know, a news story or something, you think, oh, I'd love to have that read to me by a robotic voice on the train. I can imagine Paul wanting that. And to keep him from eyeing up the ladies. And maybe it's keep him answering, well, he is eyeing up the ladies. But it was quite cool. It would just be in your iTunes, so I guess it would sync, and you could have it going, this is the BBC News, or something, you know, whatever the BBC News has on it. Yeah.
Well, good tip. Well done.
It's all right.
Well, you give us a better one then. Go.
Well, you can
I'm impulsive, spontaneous.
Just come back in a couple of weeks with a really awesome one.
My tip is don't really upset thousands of feminists on Twitter. That's my
that sounds
tip.
Like a pretty good tip, actually.
I learned the hard way today, and I was actually really well-meaning and got slightly verbally assaulted, destroyed even. So that's my tip for today.
Okay. Ian, do you have a number for us?
I do.
Is it one?
It's close. Try again.
Two.
No, it's three. 40%. Now, do you know, have a guess. What is 40%?
It's a percentage. It's not just a number.
You're quite correct. No, Tim Cook was interviewed this week, and he said a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff that Apple does. But the thing that stuck out for me was he mentioned the fact that I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Apple has now sold 500 million iOS devices. And he said that 40% of them have actually been sold since the beginning of 2012. So that's quite a lot of iOS devices in 1 year. I thought that was worth mentioning because it shows that there's still a huge amount of growth happening in the market.
Locks a lordy, Governor.
Not to mention, that also shows that they have their productions well set up if they can push out that many devices in just a year.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
100% is the amount of their Mac Pro range they better refresh right now, or they're going to have a problem.
Yes. And while we and moving on from numbers, so thank you very much, Ian. That was an awesome and shiny number.
It's thrilling.
Yes. We have UK2 to thank for all their awesomeness. So thank you very much, UK2. They have sponsored the British Tech Network for a couple of years now, and they've signed up for another couple of years. And we're very, very happy to have them around. So if you want to support them, and we really, really love that you do, they do lots and lots of great services. If you head on over to the British Tech Network, click on the sponsors link, and then click on the UK2 logo. On the sponsors page, you'll also see a whole bunch of voucher codes that gives you money off DNS, VPN, so on and so forth, and domains. 20% off domain registration. I think you'll find that's one of the best out there. I've never seen another service that provides you 20% off domain registration. So if you could just use all those domains and things like, virtual codes and things like that when you're checking out on UK2, that would be absolutely fantastic. And if you always remember to come through British Tech so that we get the kudos, because just because you use the voucher codes doesn't actually mean that you got them from us. You could have got them from news groups or wherever your voucher code area of choice is. But if you could just also always come through British Tech, even when you're logging back into your account. So we really, really appreciate them. We hope that you will love them too and you will support them. So that's UK2. They support British Tech and we wish you would support them too. So gentlemen, our Craplications, gentlemen. This is basically the skip section from a couple of weeks ago. We've decided to rename it Craplications. So first of all, Ian, what is your Craplication for tonight?
I have a somewhat controversial one tonight, Paul. My Craplication is Mailbox, which has been getting lots of write-ups in the tech press. It's apparently a revolutionary new way to manage your email, but it's been so popular, what they've done is they've implemented a queuing system. So while you can download the app, if you're not at the front of the queue, all you see when you load it is a count of how many people are ahead of you in the queue and how many people are behind you in the queue. Except it's been so popular that the queuing system has now broken completely. So it used to be when I loaded up the app, I would see the little numbers, queue behind me ticking up and the queue in front of me ticking down. Oh, no, the one behind me is still ticking up, but the one in front of me is stuck at 145,000 or so people. And this is why I'm putting it in the Craplications, because unless you're very lucky and you signed up very early, you're not going to be able to use it for ages yet, because they're taking quite a long time to get through their backlog.
So they're rubbish.
Well, the way it works is it only works with Gmail, but what they do is they synchronize all your Gmail to their own servers, which is in itself a bit of an issue, because then your Gmails can all be accessed through this other server, and I'm not sure I like the idea of that. Yeah. But, they've got to set everyone up on the server as they go, and they've probably got like 1.5 million people trying to sign up at the moment. So it strikes me that they're probably going to have performance issues once they've got that many people going. And it's a free app, so I'm wondering how the hell they're paying for it. And I just don't know.
It's also a Craplication.
Indeed. Also, somebody else pointed out that by the time everyone has got through their queue, someone like Gmail might have looked at the features they've implemented and gone, hey, we can implement them too. So they'll become entirely redundant.
Google will just buy them, won't they? You did that to the Chaffinch thing, whatever.
Sparrow. Sparrow. But from what people have read, it sounds good, but I just wait until they've actually got themselves sorted, because at the moment it's all hype and not.
Does anybody know anybody that's actually gotten into it to get a first-hand review?
I know a couple of people, but I've not seen it first-hand yet.
Okay. Well, we will wait with bated breath with Mailbox, but it's a good Craplication. Roddy, what's your Craplication tonight?
It's Toilet Tickles, which, now this was slightly missold, because where I come from, Toilet Tickles are something quite different. It's probably because we don't have an explicit rating, it's probably best I don't go into the mechanics of Toilet Tickles, but you can probably imagine. So I got the Toilet Tickles application, which has a nifty icon, which shows the male and female internationally accepted symbols for male and female toilets. So I'm going to click on it. What the hell? It has a really strange splash screen of a man's face that comes up so quickly and disappears. I don't even know what it's meant to be. So it's got Google Ads at the bottom. So it's already, even though it's free, you can tell they're trying to make some money off of it. So it's a loo roll. It's just a loo roll in a toilet roll holder against some manky green tiles with a flush button. Oh, it does. I didn't think it had sound effects. Right, hang on. I'm going to turn the sound effects up. And what you have to do is you flush the toilet, right? There we go, that's the toilet flushing. And on the toilet roll, I'm going to have to change this. On the toilet roll, it tells you a joke. So when you're sitting on the porcelain throne and you have to go through a few of these. Hang on a minute. So it tells you jokes, and jokes are funny. So, right, here's a joke that I can actually tell you, because they're all filthy. It says, the nice thing about being senile is you can hide your own Easter eggs. Very good. No, that's not funny. Senility is a terrible, terrible illness. So the jokes are written sort of on the toilet paper, but it's not actually mapped to the curvature or whatever the toilet paper is. It's just sort of stuck there. The capitalization is all over the place. Sometimes it doesn't have carriage returns, and it's absolute crap. I'm going to – hang on. Right, here's another one, because some of them are absolutely disgusting. Mummy, mummy, does a lemon have a beak? No, it doesn't, my son. Oops, so it was a canary that I squeezed. It's a waste of space, this. I actually think that whoever wrote this application, and I think it might be the person whose scary face popped up for a split second before it loads, should be thrown into the sea. It's just my personal opinion and not that of British Tech Network or UK2, our generous host, but that's just what I think.
Okay, very good. That does seem to warrant the name Craplications.
It's
for a
craplication.
Indeed. Streak, what's your craplication for this evening?
I have yet another unlikable little Star Trek-related app. This one is called Trekify Yourself, even. And it falls short on quite a few areas, shall we say. It's one of these little horrible photo booth apps. It just, I don't know what to say.
Oh, it's the guy on the right.
My word.
Yeah, the pictures.
Oh my word. Have you looked at the screenshots?
By the sound, I am assuming that you are looking at the iTunes listing for
we
the
are,
app.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, you could then tweet the photos.
It's. Yeah.
I've got a friend who would love this. He actually has a full Star Trek uniform.
Streak, I demand that you tweet one of these photos.
I think we should all get it and do one each.
It's free, so that's probably the best part about this app, if you ask me.
Dibs on Picard.
Yeah, that's a good sound for it, actually. Yeah, the flushing there. Now, it has a few shortcomings, and not just in like design or anything like
it's
that.
It's one of them, the fact that it exists in the first place.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And I mean, if they're going to do this, they might as well go all the way out. But like key characters, like important characters, are just missing from the app. Like. How can you do this app and not have Dr. McCoy?
Is it? I don't know enough about Star Trek, but is it only the original Star Trek, or does it expand across the various?
Generation.
It has some from all.
It looks like Seven of Nine is in the little scrolly thing on the iTunes store.
Is that a little bit of Valentine's Day? Seven of Nine. Would you romance her? Do you think? I like that in the screenshots. It has the sharing bit as one of the screenshots, and it has Facebook and Twitter, and then it has email, and it says two people, and that's presumably everyone in your address book.
Oh, dear. We're starting to see how not awesome this app is, I believe.
I'm just curious, at the bottom of the what seems to be the settings of the sharing screen, it says at the bottom, for more information, visit the St. Louis Science Center. Or for Star Trek information, visit StarTrek.com. So is this an app that's been made to advertise the St. Louis Science Center?
It seems
like the developer is Paradowski Creative, and I have to say I like Paradowski Creative's work, and the St. Louis Science Center.
Well, there you go.
Crazy, it's nothing wrong with those guys, but this app is just, I don't think so.
It's a craplication.
Actually, yep. Paradowski's website's quite cool.
Is it quite cool?
Yeah. Paradowski.com. When you click through, it's quite nice. I can't work out what's been built in.
It's Paradowskalicious.
It's actually very cool.
It's all right. Well, that's
they
quite
can
cool.
work on this app a lot more and improve it an awful lot more, if you ask me.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's a nice idea, though.
It's not a bad idea. It's a nice concept, but the execution leaves much more to be desired, shall we say.
Indeed. My craplication this evening, we are running really long tonight, so I'm going to make this quick. My craplication tonight is one called Wink Test.
Okay. It's not a typo.
No. Basically what this is you point, and to be fair, the technology is quite cool in it, but basically what it is you point your phone at your face and you wink with your left eye, and you have 3 seconds to wink 3 times, and it detects how well you wink and then gives you a grading based on how well you wink.
Is it an app to tell if you're winking?
Yes.
Could you not tell that you're winking because you're winking?
Yeah, well, it gives you different gradings, and I can't work out what constitutes a grade 1 to a grade... What, I've gotten a grade 5 and a grade 4, and apparently if I'm a grade 4, wink, your level is normal. Let's aim a grade on the more challenging one more time. That wording's amazing. Let's aim a grade on the more challenging one more time. Dominant eye is your left eye. When it comes to a showdown, is in the left eye wink.
I'm judging by the names and the gentlemen there, I don't think English is their first language.
And also,
let's bigger wink.
Because I'm on an iPhone 4S, and I can only assume that the graphics, albeit are horrendous, have been made for an iPhone 5, the retry and tweet buttons that you get once you've finished your winking are actually half off the screen, and there's no way to scroll. So you can still touch them, but there's half of the screen. You only get like the tops of the letters. It's free. I just don't get the purpose of it at all. I mean, to be fair, I think the technology is quite cool that they've managed to, because it does work. There's a little thing on the screen that does show when you're winking. That's fine, but I don't really get the point in it.
All it's got to do is look for movement in a very specific area of the screen.
Yeah.
That's bobbins.
I've absolutely no idea
what's one worse than a craplication?
A big craplication.
I think it's an insult to all our intelligences, really, and it's just as well it's free.
It's a greasy craplication, I would say. So on finally to the bit that everybody's been waiting for, and we need to go quickly here because we are really long tonight.
Everyone's really glad we finally got to
the pick section. So we will start first of all with Streak this evening. What is your pick, sir?
I have rediscovered an old, in the theme of the evening being like Valentine's and all that, I thought, you know, something a bit more romantic. So I found something that has a love story built in. And it's a strategy game, and it's called Robocalypse, Mobile Mayhem. And it's basically a standard strategy role, well, not really role-playing game per se, but strategy game in a way. And lots of robots kill each other, and there's kind of a love story in there. Go play it. It's awesome.
Is it sort of looks like it's a kind of tower defense kind of thing?
Not this one in particular. This is more proper strategy, you might
right,
say.
Okay. Well, I see.
They did make a sequel, though.
I see it was updated in 2010, and it says, what's new? The latest version, updated to support iOS 4.
Exactly. So it's been around for a while.
They're really on the bleeding edge there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
It looks quite fun, actually. It looks like, I like that it's got pictures when you're playing the game, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not text-based. It's graphics.
Cool. Ian, what is your pick this evening?
My pick, Paul, is a game which is very romantic. It's called Punch Quest, and it basically involves punching things a lot. It's by a studio, the name escapes me just now, but their previous game was an RPG called Mage Gauntlet, which is also pretty good. But Punch Quest, you are this guy, and you punch things, and the more you punch, the faster you go. And it's basically just completely manic and great fun, and you get power-ups that turn you into, like, a gnome for various reasons, and you can ride on laser raptors. And in terms of the just the sheer overall experience, it sort of reminds me of God Hand on the PlayStation 2, which was hard as nails but incredibly good fun and similarly kind of crazy. Good fun. The game itself is free, but there are all kinds of power-ups you can buy from the store if you're having a hard time with it. But it's good. Highly recommended.
Very good, very good. And, Roddy, what is your pick this evening?
I'm sorry, mine's really vague because I've actually been using all the same apps for the last couple of weeks, except one I've been using more and more of is a taxi app for, and I don't want to promote any particular taxi company. It's one in Edinburgh, but looking at the application, I see that the same app appears for quite a few different taxi companies in the UK. It seems to be by a company called Cordic, C-O-R-D-I-C. So I think they've got a generic template. They just stick the logo on, and I guess it depends on the quality and infrastructure of your local taxi service. But what it does is you can, you set your own home and you can book a taxi to a location based, and you can do quite quick searches either through GPS or by putting in keywords. But what's really neat is you book your taxi and it tells you when it's been accepted, but then you can track the vehicle. And again, this might vary depending on which particular taxi company it is, but you can actually see how far the taxi is away. And brilliantly, I'd used it last night. when I was out drinking. And so the taxi had arrived, and I went outside, and it was nowhere to be found. So I went to wait for another taxi to come along and hail one off the street. But meanwhile, I was able to track this taxi that supposedly picked someone up and was heading over to my street. So I think it picked up somebody more drunk than I, who just got in and going, oh, yeah, whatever, and were then taken down to the completely wrong end of town, which made me amused.
Very good.
So I'm sorry it's a bit vague, but
No, what was the company name
of the company's Cordic, C-O-R-D-I-C, and I guess it is going to depend on how good your particular taxi company is, and I guess London's completely different as well. They'll probably have better things.
Yeah, when you go to Cordic's website, they've got a picture of what looks like a touring car. I'm assuming you're not going to get picked up in a touring car.
I've been picked up in worse, Paul.
My pick, due to the fact it's Valentine's Day, I figured, what's more Valentine's than an app that basically encourages you to hurl balls at people's faces? And it's a game called Tennis in the Face. Or, as I think you should actually say, Tennis in the Face.
In the Face.
So basically, the plot of this game is you play a character called Pete Pagacy, who during his professional tennis career got addicted to an energy drink called Explosives. And he's now gone to rehab, and he's come back out of rehab, and he wants to explodes for addicting all these people. So basically, it's a kind of a ragdoll type, Angry Birds type game, whereby you have three tennis balls that you need to smash at different characters and different levels, and you obviously they rebound off different walls and things like that. And if you hit explodes, the energy drink, they then explode and then take out people around them, and you get extra bonus points for taking out everybody on the level with one tennis ball. So if it manages to rebound off a number of different surfaces and hit everybody, you get all sorts of different power-ups. And the game, I was given it on The Gamer Show, another podcast on the British Tech Network. I was given this game as a bargain challenge because it was under £3. And I am absolutely addicted to it. It is a fantastic game. It's definitely the new Angry Birds for me.
I just add there, it's rated 9+. So if any of our listeners are under 9, then
they probably
don't
have
go
stopped for this listening.
Game and please stop listening. Really,
I don't really see why it is. I mean, other than maybe teaching kids that it's okay to overhand smash tennis balls at people's faces.
That's teaching the dangers of addiction, which I think is an important lesson.
Well, that's very true. It is a very good game, well worth the £1.50 it is in the store. So, and that's Tennis in the Face.
Does anyone in the game go, I've got a tennis in my face?
No.
Maybe that'll be in the second one.
Maybe. But I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. So that's basically the show, gentlemen. Unless anybody's got anything to add at the end here. I'll take that as a no.
nothing for our 9-year-old listeners anyway.
So a couple of housekeeping things as always. If you want to get in touch with the show or send something to Trouble Gusset, you can either email britishtechnews@gmail.com, tweet the network, that's @BritishTech. You can tweet any of us, and we'll give you your Twitter handles in a second. The Bash, we're still a few months away, but just to let you know, because the local travel lodge is still got cheap rooms on, but the Bash is on the 6th, is the 6th, whatever the Saturday is, hang on, I'm going to have to check this before I say this, the 6th of July, I think it is, hold on, yes, Saturday the 6th of July.
Now for some pause music.
Excuse me.
We are trundling on this evening.
Ian's just sent me a photograph from his Star Trek thing.
I know, I've just received it as well. So we'll put a link in the show notes for people, but basically it's Ian trying to be Worf. let's wrap this up, gentlemen. Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on the Twitter poll as Maniac Yak. It's MANIACYAK, and I had to have the microphone off while I was composing that photo because I was laughing too hard.
Streak, where can we find you, mate?
At Streak Machine on Twitter and app.net. That's it.
Very good. Roddy, where can we find you?
I'm just on the internet. I'm RODTI on Twitter and app.net.
And you can find me at Paul Wheatley on the Twitters I've met, not on app.net. That's us for another week. We will see you in 2 weeks with more hilarious Apple, iOS, and the competition-related banter. Good night.
Don't go changing.